Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I love this time of the church year. And if we're not careful, we will be so eager and excited for Easter Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord that we miss this moment to meditate, to worship, to dwell on the significance of Easter. Good Friday is probably a misnomer. It was not such a good Friday, especially for the disciples. For the disciples, it was the end of their hopes, their expectations. They had followed a man that they thought was the Messiah of Israel for about 3 years, assuming that he would crown himself king, as we just sang, "We crown you." They were ready the previous Sunday when we celebrated Palm Sunday this past week. They were ready on that Sunday to crown Jesus as King of Jerusalem, King of the nations. And on this time, in fact, by this hour of the day, Jesus was already dead. He'd already breathed his last. Perhaps you've been through a season of life like that, that you go from highs to sudden lows, to helpless despair, wondering if there is a tomorrow, wondering what to do with the next steps in your life. Good Friday is an opportunity for us to take deep breaths, to identify with those disciples, but also to cast our gaze afresh upon the cross and to realize anew what God has done for us by sending his son Jesus, taking our sins upon himself. Tonight, this message will lead right into celebrating communion, and is such a perfect time to celebrate communion. While Jesus' blood is still freshly spilled, when we participate in eating the wafer and drinking the juice and reminding ourselves this represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, broken and shed for us. Jesus said at the Last Supper, which was their Passover, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And then came their Friday. Good Friday represents the dark before the dawn. It is a day on which all of the evil of creation, past, present, and future, was condensed into a laser-like beam and projected upon the person of Jesus, intending to utterly destroy him. Good Friday is a day when all of the sin and wretchedness and brokenness of humanity, past and present, future, not just collective sin, but my sin and your sin, all of it was collected and poured into the being of Jesus. So in Good Friday, when we think of it, if you want to associate one word with Good Friday, the word to associate with it is sin. Good Friday is about sin, and more specifically, it's about your sin, my sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "God made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Good Friday is about sin. It's about our sin. Good Friday was also planned. As we mentioned last Sunday, the message, Jesus didn't stumble through his final week and then suddenly find himself caught by the Roman Empire or the Jewish religious leaders, helpless to defend himself and led to a cross against his will. It was God's plan from eternity past. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, we read, Jesus was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, we read, this is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, we read, for in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate assembled together against your holy servant Jesus to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. So we see Good Friday is about sin, our sin. We see Good Friday was planned. We also see Good Friday is for you. That phrase, for you, Jesus has already said at the Last Supper that this is my body broken for you. This cup represents my blood shed for you. Good Friday is for you. Our primary passage tonight, you can go ahead and turn there, is Mark chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 1. We're going to read 40 verses together to reflect on what happened on Good Friday. But here's the challenge. As I read, there will be occasions as I'm reading that I will hold my hand up. I may just point. When I do that, it's the call for responsive reading, or response from you. You will simply say back to me when I hold my hand up or when I point at you, just say, for you. So let's practice. Y'all nailed it. I'm impressed. It will be a little bit like you're talking to yourself. So when you say, for you, you're not saying for the person next to you. You're talking to yourself. All right? So reflect on that. In Mark chapter 1, let's begin. Verse 1. Mark 15, verse 1. As soon as it was morning, having held a meeting with the elder scribes and the whole Sanhedrin, the chief priests tied Jesus up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you say so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate questioned him again, aren't you going to answer? Look how many things they are accusing you of. But Jesus still did not answer. And so Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, Pilate used to release for the people a prisoner whom they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was in prison with rebels who had committed murder during the rebellion. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them as was his custom. And Pilate answered them, do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you? For he knew it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas to them instead. And Pilate asked them again, then, what do you want me to do with the one you call king of the Jews? And again they shouted, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What has he done wrong? But they shouted, all the more, crucify him. Now, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away into the palace, that is the governor's residence, and called the whole company together, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they were hitting him on the head with a stick and spitting on him. And getting down on their knees, they were paying him homage. And after they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple robe and they put his clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him. They forced a man coming in from the country who was passing by to carry Jesus' cross. He was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And then they crucified him, and they divided his clothes, casting lots for them to decide what each would get. Now it was 9 a.m. when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge written against him was, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified 2 criminals with him, one on his right, one on his left, and those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha! The one who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross." And in the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe." And even those who were crucified with him taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." And so someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." But then Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. And then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way that he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." I don't think you've missed those words tonight. For you. At times, you may have noticed that I prompted you to say "for you," to put yourself in the place of those who wanted Jesus crucified. Because he was crucified for you. And if you had been there, you would have been screaming, "Crucify him." He was crucified for you. And other times, we say "for you" to remind ourselves that it was Jesus' express intention to give his life for you. Because Jesus loves you more than you could ever begin to comprehend or imagine. The cross is the fullest demonstration of the extremes that God went to reveal his love for you. Jesus died for you. And on Good Friday, what we somberly reflect on is the piercing reality of those nails in Jesus' hands and feet. Those nails were intended for you. It should have been me killed by the wrath of God. It should have been you killed by God's wrath. But what we see on Good Friday is that Jesus went to the cross by his own choice with you in mind. And this is the gospel. We know that the gospel begins with bad news. And it begins with bad news because it makes the good news that much more liberating. But the bad news is that all of humanity has sinned. And in doing so, we have rejected God's way. And even worse news is God isn't just casual about sin. God hates sin. He detests it. He abhors it. He wants to punish sin in every place he sees it. And so you can think of your own biography there. If God hates and detests and is eternally opposed to sin, it means he's opposed to your sin. He hates your sin. But he loves you. You were guilty of sin. You were in bondage to sin. You were enslaved by sin. You could not not sin. You were mastered by sin. And praise God, your sin died with Jesus on the cross. And it was in the darkest night, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that day, that the faintest glow of light began to glimmer. There was a slightest decrease in darkness from pitch black to the beginnings of gray. In fact, all of the prophets in the Old Testament never got to see the light of day with Jesus Christ face to face, and so they prophesied in the grayness of the light. They foretold in the grayness of a virgin giving birth, of a righteous king, of a suffering servant, of one called Emmanuel, of a death defeater, of a sin stealer. And all of these prophets and all of the Old Testament begin to point towards the coming of a Messiah. And mankind, in the grayness, began to have hope. Is there a way we can be forgiven? Is there a way we can be made right with God? And the light dawned, and Jesus came, and he lived a sinless, perfect life. And on Good Friday, the light of Christ that so many had longed for and hoped for and waited for, that light was put out. Jesus was buried. Darkness returned with a gleeful vengeance. It's pretty profound that the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he washed his disciples' feet. They tried to stop him, saying, "We should be doing this, you shouldn't." And Jesus said, "What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand." Jesus could have said the same thing about his crucifixion. What I am doing right now, you do not understand, but afterward, you will understand. It's hard to see in the darkness, especially when it's cloaking our personal lives. But the unbelievably good news is that Sunday is coming. And even better, Jesus was coming for you to make a way for any who profess faith in Christ Jesus, repenting of their sins, discovering that God can take your sin, place it on Jesus at the cross, and leave you in a completely forgiven and righteous and free state for all of eternity, sealed and secured by the love of God. And so tonight, as we take communion, let's turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 19. I want to invite our worship team to come back up, and if you will be serving communion, if you'll come up and prepare to serve. But let's read again Luke 22, 19 through 20. And it says this, "And Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper. And he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'"
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.